And if you'll open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it's also in your bulletins. We'll be looking at a sermon called "The Looking Back at the Main Thing, Making Disciples." So this actually goes all the way back to the first sermon that we shared here during 2025. And again, if you are able, please rise for the reading of God's Word. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So again, at the beginning of the year, I had shared the vision for this year for Sunflower, and that was to focus on the main thing of churches, and that is to make disciples. You may remember that we focused on making disciples, and really that's the mission of all churches, or it should be the mission of all churches. This Sunday, I want us to look back at our year 2025 and see how we've grown as disciples and how we've helped others grow as disciples as well. But first, you know, a lot has happened in the year 2025, hasn't it? I don't know if you remember me sharing, but year 2025 is when the movie Pacific Rim was supposed to take place. I don't know if you know the movie Pacific Rim, but it's the one where, you know, big robots come out and fight monsters, right? Well, I told you that at the beginning of the year, all we had was like a bartending robot. That was kind of like where we were at. But at the end of 2025, now we made some advancements, such as fighting robots. I don't know if you guys saw this video, but I mean, you know, the robot is now able to copy the action of the person, with slight room for improvements, though, as you may see. Yeah, so we still have far to go, but hey, we've made some progress there. For our church, we moved here to Edmonds, right, allowing us to enjoy fellowship time to the fullest. We celebrate the first anniversary of Sunflower, right? Like, first birthdays are always huge, and it was a big milestone for us. We had our first baptism done this year as well. We also got to welcome a few new members throughout the year. And God helped us through all those times of trouble, especially those financial troubles that we had, that we faced as a church. And we got here, right? Now, for some of us, or personally, some of us moved homes. Some of us got into maybe like accidents, got sick. A lot of us got food poisoning together at one point. Some just started, you know, new school, new universities. Some people got engaged. Some people celebrate their first birthday as well, and many more. Right? If you look back, a lot has happened in the year 2025. But what I want us to focus on this morning is how much growth happened in us, right? How we were as disciples. How have we grown? Now, growth is hard to measure at times, isn't it? Measuring your height, that's one way to measure growth. And yes, that's the easier one. You were just going to measure, you know, how tall you were before and after, and you can see how much you've grown. But when it comes to growth as a disciple, that's a little harder to measure. So I want to suggest a way to measure that by going over our church's mission, vision, and values. And for some people, this may be actually the first time hearing these. And all of these are available on our website as well, if you just want to read that. But I want this to be our measure of seeing how much we've grown over the past year. So Sunflower Church's mission is to glorify Christ by making growing Christians. Again, our mission is to glorify Christ. That is our mission, to show His worth, to show His love and greatness to all the earth. And we do that by making growing Christians. Now, Apostle Paul writes to the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1, he says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me." So this is Paul's job, right? He works hard so that he may present everyone mature in Christ, meaning there's growth that's needed. Again, how have you been growing? Right? I think I vaguely remember the quote that Pastor Evans shared once when he came to our church. And that goes something like, you know, if you're not growing, you're dead. And I remember Gracie over there, our daughter, just hearing that, and she's like, you're dead? Right? If I'm not growing, I'm dead. And like, am I growing? Like, she was so worried that she's growing. Yes, you're not dead, right? But as Christians, spiritually, are we still growing? Are we alive? And the second way to measure that is through our vision. And our vision is this. We envision a church that makes disciples who grow, glow, and go as they follow the Son. Now, what do we mean by grow, glow, and go? Now, as you enter the church, you would see that banner right there, and you would have seen those three words, grow, glow, and go. And some people thought that's just like a clever, you know, like wordplay, some rhyme, right? But what did it actually mean? Well, when we say grow, right, we want to make disciples who grow in their love for God and others by teaching them to observe all that Christ has taught us, right? We envision, meaning this is what we look towards, right? We want people to grow in their love for God and others by observing all that Christ has taught us, just as it says in Matthew chapter 28. And then we want to glow, meaning we want to make disciples who glow as they reflect the goodness and glory of Christ in the world by loving one another. Just like how the sunflower itself does not emit light, right? It's a flower, but it reflects the light that it receives and you know, brightens up the place. And just like that, I want us to be as images of God, right? As disciples to reflect God's goodness unto others and go. Right, we want to make disciples who go where God calls them to share the gospel and serve others. Right, in doing so, we envision disciples making more disciples, churches planting more churches, and we do not do this with our own power. We rely on Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Again, this is our vision and what we want to see realized, and this is really what we're working towards. That's our goal. Right, and meaning we want our people to move from grow to glow to go. Now, what is that? Right, that's again one way to see growth. Right, it's where you move from just Sunday worship, right, coming to church on Sundays, to becoming more involved by sharing your faith within your church community, like in small groups or whatnot, and then going to serve others. Right, we want this movement to happen within the church. In fact, our young adults have been doing just that this year, right? They went from simply meeting on Sundays and just sharing fellowship, you know, every week after service, to gathering every week, right, on a weekday to share how they have been interacting with the Word of God, whether it be from the sermon from last Sunday or from their personal devotions, and then going out to practice that in their own communities, in their family, in their homes, with their friends, in school, work, right? Even going out to serve others, like to strangers, like you guys did during the night shift volunteer, right? What a remarkable sign of growth. Now, there are other ways to measure growth as well, and I want to share our values to do that. Now, our values can be summarized with the acronym SUNFLOWER. I know, kind of easy to remember, right? SUNFLOWER, and this is our core values. Meaning these are by the standard in which we measure, like, are we going the right way? Are we doing the right thing? And so on. So first, in the center of it all is the Son. Right? We follow the Son of God, who is central to everything. And if you've been just coming to this church, right, you know, Sunflower Church, without really realizing what the name means, that's what it is, right? It's not a typo, right? We put S O-N instead of S-U-N, because like how the sunflower follows the sun in the sky, we as sunflowers, you know, follow the Son of God. And that's what the meaning of the name is. We follow the Son of God, who is central to everything. We exist to glorify Him by growing in Him, where He is the gospel, the good news embodied in a person. And the rest of our values are about an extension of how we glorify Him. So I'm going to ask you guys a bunch of questions now. And as you're listening to, just ask yourself truthfully, right? Do I see this in myself or not? Okay. So the first question is, have you grown to be more Christ-like? Have you grown to be more like the Son? As in, have you relied on God the Father more this year? Have you relied on the Word of God more this year? Have you exemplified Christ-like character to others, such as the fruit of the Spirit, which is like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control towards yourself and others? Have you become holier? That is, have you said goodbye to a sinful habit or tried to live Christ-like amongst your peers? You know, maybe not perfectly, but have you seen yourself, notice yourself trying to do that more and more? Do you stop relying on acts of righteousness to feel accepted by God now and rely on the fact that Jesus did everything on the cross and all you have to do is to believe in that fact and trust in His finished work? If so, that's growth. You have been growing this year. Another way to measure this is through fellowship. Right? Now, what we value deep fellowship. Through fellowship, we're not merely socializing, right? We meet together to learn about God, learn about each other, and learn how to love like Jesus did. Now, fellowship can be expressed in different ways, of course. It could be just people meeting for a cup of coffee, or, you know, as the Bible says, it's like breaking bread together, which we love to do every Sunday, right? And we're so thankful that God has allowed us to enjoy times of fellowship after service. Like last year, in 2024, when we were still at Landmark Cinemas, I mean, sure, the place was great. It had this, you know, appeal, humongous screens that could fit so much more on the screen and so on, right? But we were in such a rush to leave that place after service that we didn't really have time to, you know, catch up, to chat, to ask about, like, what's going on in life and so on. All those times of fellowship that we got to enjoy this year have all been opportunities for us to grow. So here are some questions to help you reflect. Have I tried to learn everyone's name in the church? Again, today you have a great opportunity to do that if you haven't yet. You know, have I reached out, not just on Sundays, but to see how others in the church are doing? Have I just like texted them, called them up, messaged them? Right? Maybe you guys are in the same school and just like, hey, like, you know, how you doing? Like, you see each other in the hallways or whatnot. Have I met with someone other than, you know, me, right, for a cup of coffee this year? Have I tried to help someone who needed help? Let's say they were sick or they got in a car accident or they were just unable to do something. Was I able to help them out? Again, some of you, as you're listening to these questions, might think that you failed. But don't take these as a pass-fail standards, right? This is not to make you feel bad. It just means that we still have lots of room to grow. We have all of next year to practice these things and grow together. And to help practice these things next year, we're going to change our family Sundays so that we have more time to engage in each other's lives, so that we know how to pray for each other, to care for each other, and to celebrate each other as well. And our next value is L, learning. Right? We value learning. We take what we learn about God and our neighbors and reach out to our family, friends, coworkers, neighbors as a response. We don't want to just, you know, accumulate knowledge. That's what we mean. We want to apply what we learn through our actions, through our good, and so on. So question is, you know, how have you grown in your knowledge of God or the Bible and about the church? Have you shared with someone what you've learned through sermons or through Bible studies? What is maybe one thing that you remember from past sermons that you didn't know before? Right? If you learned something new, then you've grown. And to be fair, okay, as you're really trying to remember that, like, ask yourself that question, like, what do I remember from last year? What did we talk about? Right? I don't expect you to remember every single sermon that we talked about. Right? Frankly, I don't remember every sermon that I preached either. And that's because a sermon is like a meal. Okay? Some sermons are like special like night out kind of thing, fine dining, let's say, where you have a guest speaker, or maybe like during the week you listen to a sermon from a famous preacher on YouTube, whatnot. Right? You tend to remember those better.
But a Sunday sermon from your pastor is like a home-cooked meal. And like most home-cooked meals, you probably don't remember what you ate last week, right? Let alone what did you eat last year? Like, I don't remember. But all I know is that it kept me healthy. It's what I needed, right? It was made with care. It's something that I needed, right? Just like how when you get sick and, you know, your parents might make you like, I don't know, like chicken noodle soup, right? To help you get better. Right? A sermon at church, a home sermon like this is basically like a home-cooked meal. And because of that, yes, I understand that you may not remember what you just heard like last week, just like how you can't remember what you ate last week, or even you might have to struggle to remember what you ate yesterday. But it's, you know, each week as you sit down and listen, you've been growing. So that's what we value, and that's one way to measure our growth. Have I learned something new, right? Have I done a new Bible study? Have I read books of the Bible that I haven't read before, and so on? Next is outreach. That's our O. We value outreach, which is, and outreach needs a purpose, right? We don't want to just go and serve for the sake of serving, although that is good, but we want that outreach to lead to more. Right? We want that to lead to worship, right? We want them to join our worship as well. Now, again, outreach doesn't have to be just going on outreach, like serving at night shift or other volunteers and so on. It can be as simple as you reaching out, right? That's what an outreach is, reaching out from your comfort zone to serve someone else. If you've served someone from the church, from your local community, even your neighbor, then know that you've grown, right? Especially if you know that you wouldn't have done something like that last year. Like you're not the kind of person to just get out of your way to help someone in need, but you've been doing that this year. That's tremendous growth right there. And as Christians, we are to go out, right? Even today's passage says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, really, it's the main verb is to make disciples, and we do that by going, by baptizing, by teaching. We're always going. Disciples are always going somewhere. We're never to just stay in the comfort zone. We are to show influence. Right? Jesus called us to be, you know, salt and light of the earth, and that's about influence. Right? Salt is invisible influence. Right, if you put it on in food, you can't see it, but you can definitely taste it. You can definitely taste the lack of it as well. Well, we are to be like that. And light is visible influence. People can see the difference that you make. And like a light that's on a window of a home, you know, how you can still see it from far away on a dark night, right? Even though the city might be like 2-3 kilometers away, you can still see a tiny light on someone's window on a very dark night. Just like that, even your small acts of kindness, acts of goodness can be visible to others and influence others as well. And this can also be shown through generosity, right? Have you noticed that you maybe donated more to church, or maybe you just, you know, started giving offerings, whatnot, not just to church, but to maybe charity or to other causes, to those in need, right? You found yourself actually opening up your wallet to maybe help a friend who's hungry or whatnot, or those who are unhoused even. Have you given to missions or supported a missionary this year? Again, it doesn't even have to be money. It could be your time, your resource, your prayers even. Have you reached out to others this year, right? Have you gone out of your comfort zone to serve others? If you did, that is another sign of growth. Here's the last three, right? Worship. Again, through worship, we glorify God and experience His amazing love and grace for the world. This Sunday worship is important because this is our main way to praise God and to be filled by His grace. We should be excited to share about this amazing love of God to others through evangelism as well. Now, just going back to worship though, have you put Sunday worship as a priority in your life starting this year? Did you find yourself coming to church more often, more regularly this year compared to last year? And that's growth. Do you find yourself, you know, thinking more about God, maybe reading the Bible more, praying more, obeying His commands more this year? Do you find that your prayers are slowly becoming less about you and more about God and His kingdom? Do you find that you pick up the Bible now, not to find solutions to your problems, but to learn and to meet God and Jesus through the words in the Bible? Again, that's how one of the ways that we can measure growth in worship. Now, the next two, evangelism and reproduction, I want to put these two together. Evangelism, we exist to make growing and multiplying disciples, and it all begins by sharing the gospel. And that's really what evangelism is. Evangel, right? It comes from the word euangelion, which means good news. Evangelism is about sharing the good news that Jesus, who is God, came to earth, right? Lived this life as a model for us to follow, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again so that we may have eternal life. That's the gospel. And evangelism is sharing about Jesus and what He's done. And we want to make these disciples to make more disciples. And that is reproduction, right? By making multiplying disciples and multiplying churches, we expand their fellowship in the body of Christ. So again, the question that I want to ask you is, have you shared the gospel with someone this year? Have you opened up about Jesus to a friend or family member or a coworker or whatnot, or even a stranger? Did you invite someone to church this year? And maybe you've never done that before in your life, and you just want to try it this year, then that is growth. You know, we did this one person or one family for the year focus at the beginning of the year. I don't know if you guys remember that, right? Just choose one person or just choose one family and you pray for them and you keep looking for opportunities to share about Jesus or to invite them to church. That was it, right? That was our focus. Just one person or just one family for the whole year, right? That's something that we can handle. And let me tell you, right, for those of you who may not know, right, there have been several people who actually got to come to church for the first time or come back to church after having been away for a long time this year. I know that some of you have tried, really tried to bring others to church, but it hasn't been easy as well. Now, but I was very encouraged to see that some of these people responded very well to our invitation as well. You may remember one of my students, Michael, who had been like, tutoring for several years. And just this year, what happened was that his family had to go back to Korea. He was just kind of left alone, right? And to me, that looked like an opportunity for us to care for him as a church. And so we invited him over to church. So what happened? He got to participate in the Passover meal during Good Friday. He kept coming to church on Sunday and you know, he wrote me back an email saying, you know, thank you for all those times. That, and then when he says you, it was a plural, not just me, for everyone here, for making church, right, seem such a good place. He had such a great experience with everyone here that he, you know what, even his mom, who doesn't go to church, actually went to church on Easter this year because of what Michael has said about what church is like. And I know that some of your friends have come back to church or so on, or started Bible studies this year because you took the courage to ask them and to invite them. I was also very encouraged to see that even my own children wanted to evangelize and invite people to church. Right? For those of you who don't know, they go to a Christian school, right? And so you can imagine how awkward it must be actually to invite another student in a Christian school to come to church. Do you get it, right? Like, you would assume that everyone's a Christian there. So it's like, you know, like going to a basketball player, hey, like, do you want to play with the basketball? It's like, okay, I'm a basketball player, right? But you may be surprised to know that some of these students have never been to a church, let alone believe in Jesus. And so I was encouraged to see them actually taking the opportunity to share and invite these friends to church. I was challenged because I find it difficult. I actually tried this year to go out to IKEA and actually just meet random strangers in the food court to invite them to church. Let me tell you, it's difficult. Okay, I'm not cut out for that. I don't have that kind of courage, but I was encouraged after meeting a friend of mine who's been evangelizing, for the past 5 years. And he told me that he's shared about Jesus to more than 10,000 people over the past 5 years. I was like, how do you do that, right? He's always carrying some sort of leaflet, a little New Testament. In fact, I don't know if you guys got some of those like black Bibles. The hardcover ones from church, that was actually gifted by that friend because he had like boxes of Bibles to give. Again, that challenged me to grow in this area more this coming year as well. So again, like we cannot be perfect in these things. And that's okay because we are here to grow. We can't stop growing. Now again, whether you shared about Jesus to one person or to 1,000 people, I want you to know that this is what a church is supposed to do. A church is literally a gathering of those who are called out. Right? The word for church in Greek is ekklesia, right? Ekkleo, those two words together, called out. Right? Through the church, we call out those in the world to come out and join this gathering, this assembly. That's another meaning of the word ecclesia, under Christ's name. All of us here have been called out of the world to gather together as an assembly. Right? A church is not a building. Church is this gathering. And as we've done that, we've been fruitful in helping others learn about Jesus or discover Jesus. Now, even if you haven't done so personally, let's say you haven't evangelized personally, I want you to know that you have been a part of God using our church to share the gospel to hundreds of students this year. Right? I don't think I have ever had this many opportunities to share the gospel to this many students in a year, from youth to young adults to even married people, right? I think including the camp that I'll be attending tomorrow, it will come out to about 500 people this year that I'll be sharing the gospel with. The fact that we have more people at the end of this year than at the beginning is a testament that we grew together in this area. Now, it must not stop at just more people coming to church. We are to make new disciples. And continuing on from how some of our members reached out to their friends and began Bible studies together, we were able to have some of them attend church regularly. And as they do, they are being discipled. The next step then is to have them make new disciples. And we're not quite there yet, and that's okay. This takes time. We're always aiming to make reproducing disciples, disciples making more disciples. And so the question is, have you been making disciples this year? All the question before this is about you being discipled, right? You becoming a disciple. But the question now is, have you been making disciples? And what does that look like? I know that sounds a little daunting, right? Have I been making disciples? What do I need to do? Well, here's what disciple making can look like in everyday life. If you have a friend that you keep in touch with regularly, or like a coworker that you just, talk regularly over coffee or something, right? Then disciple making can look like you just simply inviting them to have a discussion about Jesus or Christianity. That's it, right? To teach them who Jesus is and what he's like. To share the Jesus that you experienced. To share a little bit about what you learned on Sunday. Right? This can happen from you bringing up the topic first or them asking you the question first. Right, it's not about making them accept Jesus right there and then. Again, like, could you imagine during coffee break, repent with me, and then you pray this prayer? I'm not talking about that, right? Like I said before, it's about getting them to the next space, like in baseball, right? One step away from their former life and one step closer to learning about Jesus. So again, I just want to say, don't be intimidated. This is something that we are always doing as we open up about Christ to others. So let me wrap up by asking you this again. Right, how did you answer those questions? I know there were a lot of questions, right? And I hope that you were encouraged as much as you were challenged. The point of these questions have been to show you that there was growth in you this year, not to criticize and not to say that you need to try harder next year. That's not the point. Some people grow more, some people less, and that's okay as well. Some people are like bamboo, right, where you can see growth happen like you say. In fact, if you watch really carefully, you can actually see them grow. And some people are like the oak tree. It takes time. You may not notice it, but they're taking deeper roots down. And eventually they become this unshakable person who can bless others, like how an oak tree can bless many people and many animals. I truly hope that you see growth in yourself in the past year, and I hope that you'll grow even more this coming year. I'm excited about what God's going to do through you and through this church next year. But before we look towards the future, let's thank God for what He's done this past year. How He's shown His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace, His guidance, and how He's made you grow. To grow in knowledge, grow in faith, grow in character, grow in love. And all this was possible because of Jesus. For He has made it possible for us to be reconciled to God so that we may experience these growths in us. Because when we abide in Christ, we can bear much fruit. And again, to make all that possible, though, Jesus had to go to the cross. And so let us give thanks to God at this time. Give thanks to Christ by remembering His work through this communion. So at this time, we're going to take communion together. And if you don't have one yet, please grab one. Let me begin by reading from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 29. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Until that day, we are to continue growing. And to do that, He gave us this communion to remember Him and to continue growing in love towards God and towards others. So at this time, I want us to take a time of reflection, of prayer. Just look back at this past year and say, "God, thank you for helping me grow. And for those areas that I haven't shown much growth, God, I pray that you would help me in these areas next year so that I may become more mature in you and present myself mature to you, God." So let's take a short moment of just quiet reflection and prayer. Father God, we thank you again for this past year, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, and how you've guided this church and guided each and every one of our lives to grow closer to you, grow in more likeness to you, Lord Christ. I pray that you will help us to grow again this coming year as we continue to rely on you and your goodness and the word of God that you feed us. For we do not live on bread alone, but by every word of God. We thank you and remember you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done to make all this possible, for allowing us to gather as your church, called out from the world to be holy. We thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.